Does it feel different this year, opening night for each?
It's more like, thank freaking God, right?
Yeah, that's part of that.
I'm really happy for it. I mean, every year, opening night is a great night, and it's a lot of fun. I can't speak for anyone else, guys, but I've been particularly looking forward to this one. It's too long. It's been too weird. Times are too hard on people. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Borny?
You know, I was reading your 31 thoughts, which is excellent, and everyone can check out on sportsnet.ca.
I did not read it, by the way.
I thought it was mandated.
What do you call it?
31 turds?
Yeah, 31 turds, yeah.
Well, except, I think it's a little bit better than that.
Except for the pieces that Berkey's the source on. Those are good thoughts. Those are the good ones.
But the part that stuck out to me was the NBA is saying that if you don't have 8 eligible players, that you forfeit the game. So the other night, the 76ers dressed an injured player and rolled with 7. And you'd mentioned that there's a possibility the NHL could have some sort of hard number like that, too. I believe you had it 14 skaters and 2 goalies.
That's the AHL. The AHL is talking about that.
Okay. So would there be a possibility in the NHL of having some sort of, you have to have a certain amount of guys ready to go, or is that likely to not be an issue?
Well, I just think, Justin, if you're around long enough, you kind of have an idea of the way leagues do business, or even people do business. You know, people have habits, and they have things that you say, okay, that's them, that's their identity. The NHL's identity on things like this is, we don't want you to pin us down to a number or any kind of target. So that's kind of the NHL's way. So, yes, the AHL, as it stood when I wrote it, because I was warned it could change, they're saying if you don't have 14 skaters and 2 goalies, then it's a non-game. And they're also saying that with their officials, by the way. If there's not one regular referee who can ref your game, you know, it's a non-game. But that can always change. The NHL, the way that the commissioner and the deputy commissioner tend to do things is, we don't want to be pinned down. We're going to make that call on a case-by-case basis. And if you heard their Zoom call with the media on Monday, one of the things they talked about was the hope that the taxi squad will eliminate this problem. So this way, if they don't say that there's anything set, you don't have annoying media like me and you, Justin, counting their rosters and seeing how many guys are on the bench. I think they're going to pretty much play it by ear, at least publicly.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. And if I were a GM, I wouldn't want a hard number. If I had the right 13 guys one night and we were playing a team that really scuffling, I might want to play that game.
That could happen, Berkey. I mean, absolutely. I mean, in that Denver-Philadelphia game that Justin was referencing, they had to put a guy, as he mentioned, who was injured in uniform, so 8 guys in uniform. And after the game, the thing that Doc Rivers, the coach of the 76ers, said was, is it really fair to the health of the players who have to play all those minutes? Like, it's already a shortened season. You're already worried about COVID. His biggest concern was, are you risking even more the health of the players by doing this? And I'm sure that's a question that's going to come up here and there.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I played in the summer league in Minnesota when I was in high school. And there was a big concert in town. I think it was Uriah Heep was a big band back then.
Yeah.
I'm showing my age. And we had 5 skaters and a goalie. And the referee said, you're going to forfeit the game. I said, no, we'll play with 5. So I said to the guys, look, we got to build up a big lead here. So we got up 5-0 and then hung on and tied 5-5. We ended up going undefeated in that league, 20-0-1. And the one tie was the game where we had 5 skaters.
Oh, my God. So those 4 other guys must have been really good, Berkey.
I broke my nose. I broke my nose in the second period too, and had to keep playing. It was ugly.
Old school hockey. We were just talking before you came on, Friege, about, well, more so the Montreal Canadiens and the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll get your thoughts on both. Going into tonight's game, going into tonight's season, what are the big questions that you have about each of these teams?
Well, you know, I think that the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens, to me, are the two deepest teams in the Canadian division. Like when you look just up and down the rosters, in a year where you know you're going to lose people, where players are going to get hurt, and you're also worried about COVID, no teams have more players that can play at an NHL level than the Leafs and the Canadiens. And I think the other thing I was looking at with those two teams is at a time when a lot of teams, not just in hockey, but in all sports, are kind of saying, without fans and these revenues, we're not spending any more dollars than we have to. They just said, screw it. We're going for it. And, you know, so I look at two teams that kind of have the same mentality. We're going for it, and we're signing a lot of bodies. We're going to be ready for this. And I think over the year, that'll serve them well. You know, I really like the Canadians. I do. I think they're deep. I think they're good. You know, I'm really curious to see after they limped into the return to play last year. They beat Philly. They beat Pittsburgh. They gave Philly all they could handle. I'm really curious to see what that's done to the confidence of the group. And, you know, I think the Maple Leafs, the same thing. They didn't win their round, but I think they know what's at stake for this group. If they like playing together, this is probably their last rodeo as the Big Four. So I'm really curious about this tonight. I think they are as prepared as you can be for what this season is going to be like. And I think they both have a chance to A, win the division, and B, do damage.
One thing I wanted to clarify is earlier on the show I said that I thought Montreal would be a playoff team. I'd like to just get it on the record that I don't think they'll be a playoff team because I'd like to go against Elliot and Brian here on at least one thing, dig my heels in.
That's fine.
But I did want to...
Somebody's got to wear the jester outfit, Justin.
I'm happy to do it. Throw it on.
Betting against Elliot is usually a good idea.
Well, that's the only basis for my logic is that. I wanted to ask more about the taxi squads and what effect do you think they'll have on this NHL season. We've already seen this sort of goalie carousel where, you know, the Leafs didn't want to put Dell on and a couple guys get claimed. Do you think there'll be more frequent claiming of players because of the way this is all set up?
I think it all comes down to the quarantines, Justin. You know, for example, a Canadian team wants to bring in a guy, it's 14 days, right? As long as it's not from another, you know, if it's a player from a U.S. team. Like, that's one of the things that some of these teams are banking on, that the teams won't claim players because of the quarantines, especially going into Canada. You know, going into Canada is the most stringent one, 14 days. So I think that's one of the things there. Like, I got to tell you, and you know, Berkey, you'd know the player a bit better. I was surprised nobody claimed Shillington yesterday. I really was. I thought somebody would take a flyer on him. That one shocked me a bit. You know, there were a couple of guys who crossed over the border south. I know Toronto was really worried about Dell, and for very good reason. Montreal didn't put Mete on waivers, and for very good reason. They avoided that. But I think the biggest question is going to be, are you, now that the season started, you know, is it worth claiming a guy knowing that can't play for you for 7 to 14 days? And I think that's some of the questions that these guys are going to be asking.
Yeah, the number of GMs I talked to, they're counting on that quarantine period being reduced as the season progresses. If COVID comes under, if the outbreak in the States gets contained, which looks very difficult at this point, they're counting on that period being shorter at some point. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but certainly a couple guys have relayed that to me. They're anticipating probably a 7-day quarantine down the road.
I think, Berkey, from your lips to God's ears, I hope it happens simply because it means we've got this thing a little bit more under control. I'm with you on this.
With Elliot Friedman on Hockey Central. Elliot, always curious about the trade market, and we've talked plenty about Pierre-Luc Dubois and Patrick Laine's name out there, Jack Roslovic as well with the Winnipeg Jets. But given the nature of what everyone is going through, and you guys just discussing quarantine and a lot of teams right up against the salary cap, other teams, you know, frozen budgets, what happens to trades this season in your estimation?
I think it's similar. I think, Jeff, everybody recognizes that the quarantine issue, you know, I think now, like, I do think, I don't know how close Columbus came to doing anything, if at all, in the last week or so. But I do think since the news has gotten out, there have been teams who said, you know, we're not going to fool around with this. If Dubois is going to be traded, you know, we have to make a good offer. And I think he got some good proposals sent his way that at least made him, okay, this is what I could do if I wanted to. I don't know if he came close at all, but I heard there were some interesting ones that came across his way. But the thing is now, if you're Columbus, your goal is to make the playoffs. Like, you're competing this year. You're trying to win games. And I think everybody's kind of looking at it like that. So my guess, and I could always be wrong, but my guess is the mentality, Jeff, is going to be once the season starts, let's see how we do. Like, if we flop out of the chute, a team out there flops out of the chute and says, oh, we've run out of runway already because it's very hard to catch up, then I think those are the teams you'll start to see say, okay, you know, are we going to do something here? But if if you're making a deal and you're looking at it and saying, it's not going to help us for 7 to 14 days and may actually make us weaker, how many teams are going to be doing that? And I think a lot of teams won't be doing that until they think they're out of it or it doesn't really affect them.
Elliot, what do you think it would take for the league to go to a hub? You know, just in trying to get some sense for, like, I know they want to get through this in 31 cities. I know they're in 30 cities right now. But there's certainly a level with the spread where they would just go, we got to get everyone in the same place here. I don't think it's even all that unrealistic. What do you think it would take for that to happen?
I just think, Justin, that's that's the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Like, I think if there's no other options, then, like, if you heard Bettman the other day, he said, you know, we knew we couldn't ask our players to do that again. We had one opt-out, Casey Nelson, the American leaguer, with Buffalo. But if there had been a bubble, there would have been more. And they knew it. They knew there would have been more.
So this really turns on discipline now. Now the season begins, it really turns on the discipline of players and staffs on every NHL team to see if they can complete this successfully. The other sports have battled with it, but they seem to get it right as it went farther along, like in baseball. It's all about discipline now.
Well, I think, too, if you look at what's going on in the NBA right now, and, you know, there seems to be some careless behavior there, but I guarantee there's a lot of people who follow protocols and just, you know, got caught up in it. And, you know, all you have to do is look at the challenges that league is going through this week. And you're aware of, you know, what's going on, of what's happening. They're getting more and more games canceled every night. And, like, they started, when they did their first testing at the beginning of training camp, they had close to a 10% positivity rate. And they were really worried about that. And then by the end of training camp, they had it down to zero. And now you're looking what's happening. You know, you saw what happened with James Harden. We see what's happening with Kyrie Irving right now. But still, I guarantee there's a lot of players there who've been responsible, and you just can't help it. I mean, it's just everywhere right now. So I think all you have to do, and yesterday they came out with new protocols, things like no guests in your hotel room. And I just think that all you have to do is look at the NBA, which I think tends to be really on top of things and all the challenges that they're having. It's a warning. Look at Vancouver. You know, they're going to be missing two players tonight. Yep. We don't have clarity yet. One, is it a positive? Is it a false positive? They don't know yet. The other was living with them. You know, it doesn't take a lot for all of this to become something that, you know, hijacks your team for anywhere from a day to 2 weeks.
You mentioned Vancouver. So no JT Miller, no Jordy Benn. They're the nightcap game tonight, the second half of the doubleheader. Vancouver Canucks at Rogers Place to face off against the Edmonton Oilers. I know you like Elias Pettersson, even liked him last year as a stealth or sneaky heart trophy candidate. Has that certainly potential again this season. But, you know, everybody that I talk to from Edmonton all say the same thing, or all saying the same thing right now. Connor McDavid is on a different planet, and he wants to prove who the best in the game is. What are you hearing about McDavid?
Which planet are we talking about here?
The planet where they make elite-level hockey players.
Pucktopia. You know, the planet could affect my analysis, Jeff. I just wanted to let you know that.
It's a very important professional.
I just think that he's wired a certain way, and that's to be great. Like, you know, you look at him and you can see, like, I think the best players or people, or the most successful players or people, are the people who are like, I would rather rob my mother than lose a game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of got that look to him. When he loses, he's got that angry face, and he looks furious, and he can't stand it. And I just think that they came back last year. You know, how many people last year were calling the Oilers like a stealth Stanley Cup pick when the return to play started? I saw a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And they lasted four games against a team that only made the playoffs because, you know, we went to 24 teams. And I think that really sucked for him. And, you know, if you listen to kind of what's coming out of Edmonton right now, they feel disrespected. They recognize not a lot of people are picking them. A lot of people are looking at the holes on their roster. And I think that Oilers group feels like they're not being properly given what they deserve based on the year they had last year. So I would expect that he's going to be great, and I think the other guy's going to be great too. And they will have to be great because, you know, I'm sorry, Oilers, but I do think you got some holes still that you got to fix.
Do you expect anything to be different stylistically in the NHL this year? I mean that in, like, you know, the Canadian division in particular feels pretty offense heavy. I know there's going to be a lot of, you know, taxi squads in and out. There's been a lot of goaltenders turning, you know, changing teams. My expectation is more offense. By the way, I saw that Jeff predicted the league leader in points to have 95 points this year. He was way above everyone, but I agree.
Connor
I think
McDavid.
He's right.
Yeah, Connor McDavid's going to tear it apart.
You know, I just think that, Justin, no exhibition games. You know, how much, like, you played. You went through training camps. How much did the quality of play change between exhibition game one and exhibition game whatever, 4, 5, 8? Probably a lot. You went from scrambly to not very scrambly. Okay, we're in our systems now. So I think that it's going to be scrambly. No, but no defense is better. Like, if teams are bad defensively, I'm all okay with that. I think the other thing, too, is I'm curious about the emotion level. Like, the guy who I think tonight in Toronto comes out of that game shot out like a cannon is Josh Anderson. Like, I bet you after signing the big deal and being traded in a tough year last year where he was hurt, I think that those guys, like the Josh Andersons, the Brendan Gallaghers, the Wayne Simmonds, like, they are going to be counted on to create the emotion. I think those guys are going to be – and also, 56 games, guys, like, you have no opportunity to fall behind. A bad start and you're doomed. With the loser point, you cannot crawl out of that hole. So I think it's going to be emotional. I think it's going to be scrambly. And I think that it's going to stay that way, except for the teams that fall out of it. I think that's going to be a really difficult – that's one thing actually I was talking about with someone today. If your team falls out of it in this day and age with what we're playing through, teams are going to have a big challenge keeping those players motivated.
Yeah, I agree with that, Elliot. They're all four-point games, and you can't have a poor start. I think it will be scrambly, and I think that favors teams that play with great structure like Columbus?
Islanders.
Like the Islanders? I think the Islanders are going to have a good start because it is going to be scrambly, but they're not going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about that in the podcast, Jeff. Like last year, why did they reach the Eastern Conference Final? I think it's a lot because when there was so much weirdness going on and teams were kind of trying to put it back together, the Islanders, they know their identity. They know who they are. And I think that really benefits them. I agree with you. I mean, goaltending is always huge, but it's even more huge now. I mean, this is the most unpredictable season in our lifetimes, I really think. You know, Berkey, you've got a few more lifetimes to pick from here, but at least in mine, it's unquestionably the most unpredictable season.
Okay, well then let's finish it with this one, because you and Justin are, as we all know, degenerate gamblers. What is, from a gambling point of view, what is everyone missing on? Where is some smart money going this year?
Well, I'll tell you this. A couple of long shots I really looked at, I thought the Capitals' odds were really low. For as a team, to win a division and to win the Stanley Cup, I think they're being underestimated a little bit from what I've seen. And if you want one really sensible long shot bet out there, and I don't want anybody complaining to me if he doesn't win it, I'm saying it's a long shot bet, it's Provorov for the Norris. I saw it at like 500 to 1.